Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Florida Today podcast. I'm Christina LaFortune. This week, we're looking at the positive change one person can make in their life and the ripple effect it has on the people around them. But first, I'd like to remind everyone to click subscribe in the iTunes or Google Play stores or follow on the Stitcher Radio or Podomatic apps so you never miss an episode. And as a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at LaFortuneC. That's at LaFortuneC. Nestor Bouyet-Funelas of Palm Bay knows a thing or two about change. The 34-year-old breakdancer named his live show production company Soul 180 to reflect that one soul person could make a drastic change and turn their life around and affect many others along the way.
Ready and from the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, and 3, and 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, and 2, 3, 4. Ha, 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 ta, ta, ha, woom, ha.
Bouyet, a nickname for Nestor that is loosely translated to youngest boy in Filipino, loves hip-hop, the culture, and the art form. He's a champion for the performing arts and has been since he fell in love with breakdancing as a teenager. He spends a lot of time teaching breakdancing and hip-hop at different dance schools across Brevard. This is how he got into it.
I would probably say my later year in high school, I would say towards the end of my junior year, was when I got into hip-hop heavy. Where I was actually breaking or started breakdancing, like I said, with my brother and some friends of ours. And we would just break in parks. We would break in asphalt. We always had a 8x10 or a 10x10 linoleum with us rolled up, tucked into our vehicles, sticking out of the window. It was probably illegal because most of it was like 6 foot out the window of whatever vehicle we had. And wherever we went, we just kind of had it and would, you know, if we felt like breaking, we would roll it out. Parking lots, people's houses, garages.
His love for hip-hop, however, led him into trouble during a most personal time in his family.
My senior year of high school, I had, towards the end of the senior year of high school, a couple things happened in my life, actually with my family. One thing was my father became terminally ill with melanoma skin cancer. So he had, cancer, and it was pretty bad. At the same time, was heavily involved with a pretty bad group of guys, people. And they were just into a bunch of different things from, selling drugs to robbery, just that type of stuff or that lifestyle. And I quickly found myself pretty heavily involved with it also as well, with them for that amount of time. But then during this time also, simultaneously, my father passed away four and a half months after high school. So that really took a big toll on me. And actually, when he passed away, the very next the next day or next couple of days was when the police came looking for me, and I was incarcerated then at that time. So like my father passed away, a couple of days later came pick me up. So my mom had no idea where I went. So like the next thing she was looking for was her kids. She was like, where is he? And none of my brothers wanted to tell her because she just she's dealing with losing my father, and it was going to be another big blow for her. And it was it was a hard time, pretty hard and rough, obviously, because of my own stupid decisions.
Bouyet says the police agreed to release him for a day so he could attend his father's funeral, but after that, he was taken back to the county jail. He was being held there until he could post bond.
I was in there for a good amount of months over Sharps. And they were looking to put me away for, I think it was like 12 to 15 or 12 to 18 years because of all the different counts and charges that I was facing. I think it was something close to like 15 felony charges. So you do the math, every degree of felony charge you get is equal to a certain amount of years. I knew a lot about law back then when I was in there because I learned it. But they were looking to put me away for a little while, and you know, it just got really dark and, you know, pretty bad. And there was a, during that time before my father passed away, my family had been going to this tiny little church in Palm Bay, Florida called The House.
Through the grace of God, Bouillette says, someone somehow finally got through to him.
There was a little guy, Pastor Ken Delgado, from this church, The House. He just kind of showed up out of the blue, came to see me, even though I wasn't really involved in his church or anything like that. But my family had been slightly going. And he came in and told me, you know, one day, looked me straight in the eye, and I knew he was being for real. And was just like, hey, you know, you have so much more. There's so much more potential you have than this. You know, there's more to your life than what you're at now, you know. And he just, you know, and then obviously he went on to say more. But I remember at that time, it was something had like turned on or clicked in my brain and or in my thinking. And I was like, you know what, he's right. And I can tell you right now, like, I know, like, the back of my hand, there was something from that point on. The same time it switched or it clicked, it just changed for me drastically. And I made a decision then. I was like, you know what? I don't need to be in this lifestyle. I don't need to. You know, whatever he was talking about, I don't understand it all. He's right, you know? And from that point on, I mean, I was still looking at, you know, 12 to something years. That, you know, we were going back and forth with lawyers and public defenders and all this stuff. And I had made a conscious decision then that no matter what happens, you know, I'm not going back to that lifestyle. And miraculously, Christmas Eve. And our Christmas Eve, I was sitting in my cell and there was a big call over the intercom. And it was, you know, Nestor Fernelis, grab your crap because you're going home. And I knew that at that time, you know, that it had to have been God because there was no other way. But Christmas Eve, I got out, and then I have never turned around, and I've never looked back, never been back.
Bouillette knew he had someone very special to thank, but he was blown away by what he saw at The House.
I went to that church, and I saw that guy, and he invited me to a youth service the church was having. And I remember coming into a youth service and walking in and seeing lights, seeing fog machines, seeing breakdancing, seeing emceeing and rapping, and seeing, you know, like just DJing and scratching. And I've never seen it done in such a positive way to where, you know, people weren't fighting each other. There was no, you know, there was no alcohol. There was none of that stuff, but they were still having a good time. And it was still hip hop. And everybody talked just like me with an accent, you know, that yo, yo, yo stuff. And I remember thinking, and I was like, wow, you know, like, this exists. I didn't know that this existed here in, you know, much less a church, you know. And I looked around, and it was like at least a couple hundred teenagers and young adults, and they were just having a good time, and everybody was super cool. And that was when I knew from that point, I was like, all right, this is where I need to be. And it just kind of grew from there. So I served there for many years. Actually started a breaking class for the community at that place. And we would get anywhere from 40 to 60 to 80 kids come in on a school night, street kids that obviously couldn't go into, you know, and pay for studios and stuff like that. Because I wasn't a studio dancer. I'd never stepped into a studio until I went to New York. So I didn't know about the studio dancing lifestyle and dance moms and dance dads and all that. We just opened up that place and kids came and I taught them how to break.
Bouillette served at The House for many years after that, helping street kids like himself, leading a positive example for those around him. He set up youth productions at The House. He taught break dancing. He went on a mission trip. However, he had his legal troubles to deal with. Bouillette's case would get delayed. Over time, the district attorney and his lawyer would meet to resolve it. Bouillette's case would reach a conclusion 4 years later. What happened? During one appearance, the judge looked over the case, took note of his good behavior, and ruled in Bouillette's favor. According to Bouillette, the judge slapped him with time served and probation. His charges were lowered to misdemeanors. He really did turn his life around. He really did a soul 180. Listen to what Pastor Ken Delgado from The House Church in Palm Bay has to say about Bouillette.
Before he was a detriment to society. Now he's actually helping to change lives and passing it forward, so to speak. Nestor is a very talented young man who, had a difficulty, when his father died, and he took a wrong turn, but the talent was there, and his ability to connect with young people is a gift.
Nestor's mom, Thea Choupé, has nothing but love for her youngest boy, her Bouillette. At 60 years old, the Filipina has 10 children, 6 boys and 4 girls. They're all very close, and in good times and bad times, the family has stuck together. They're all very proud of what Bouillette has accomplished. Thea, probably more so than anybody.
One thing, he loves God. He always talks to God. He always, everything what he's doing, he's acknowledged God in his life. When my husband died, he is so painful to him, When he went to prison, somebody charging him for breaking and entering. That's all the one I know. But I believe that is God will, because he has the purpose. Everything what my son do, he put that in God will, because when he's in the prison, he teach Bible in the prison. He has adult and young. So, and then she went to prison for 2 months. So, that is when my husband died. So after that one, he finished in high school and they went in college in New York to learn to dance with the Holy Spirit, according to him.
After learning about theatrics and the performing arts in New York, Bouillette followed his dream to become a professional dancer. He traveled across the country teaching hip-hop and breakdancing to hundreds of students, networking within the entertainment industry. He had perfected his craft. He was so good at teaching. Just watching him dance inspired many. Take it from fellow b-boy dancer Nate Pena Florida, age 22, of Indy Atlantic.
When I was like a kid, probably like maybe 5 years old or so, I saw him dancing, like breakdancing, and he was like really good friends with my sister. And I would see him breakdance and stuff like that, and so it just made me want to like get into it as well. So overall, like, he's pretty much the one that started me into getting into dancing. I can remember when I was a kid, like first grade or so, I'd just like bust out head spins.
Like Bouillette, Christian Normandia of Palm Bay wants to produce events in Brevard that showcase hip-hop and breakdancing as an art form. Their goal is to offer it here so people don't have to travel to Orlando, Tampa, Miami, and beyond to get a taste of this hip-hop culture. They want to show the positive side of hip-hop and how the performing arts really can save a soul.
Nestor is one of the most driven people you'll ever meet. I would say he's my mentor. He found me when I was 15 and taught me everything that I know.
Normandia has danced for Jennifer Lopez and performed with Fighting Gravity on America's Got Talent. He says he's honored to work with Bouillette to pass on to others what he's learned, just as Bouillette did with him so many years ago.
Most people don't get a chance, a second chance to begin with, and most people don't make the most of that second chance. And that says a lot, that speaks a lot to him and his drive to bring positivity into the world, especially after the troubled past he's had growing up. It's really important to him to bring positivity into everything that he does now.
He's a very happy person, And sometimes, sometimes we gather all these other kids, he always created something to make people happy, I'm very proud of him because the hard time for his life, he fight with them by the truth of the word of God, you know. And he's seeing that even when he's in the prison, that's the one I'm very proud of him. He said, Mom, don't cry. I visited them once a couple of times in the prison, and he said, Mom, I told you God has book for me here, because when I visit them, the guard said, oh, the golden boy. He said, look at all this corner around in the probably 50 to 4, 40 to 50 people. He's in the middle. They're pretty out there reading the Bible to all of them. And it's make me so proud of him, you know. And I never forget that. And then I'm so proud of him all the time. Whatever he does is a good thing, you know, but I never forget this thing, the one I cry out to God. I said, Lord, I know that I know it's in your hands. It's only a baby boy, you know.
Through teaching and Soul 180, Nestor Buyet Funelis, a troubled teen who turned his life around 180, hopes to impact others and pass along a little of what he's learned through life, through hope, through God.
So as soon as you guys come out of eight, when we go one and two, three, four, right away, five, instant, and seven, eight, yeah?
You can read more of Florida Today entertainment reporter Jennifer Sangalang's story and see video of Buyet on floridatoday.com and on the Florida Today mobile and tablet apps. You can follow Jennifer on Twitter and Instagram at @byjensangalang. That's at @byjensangalang. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the Florida Today podcast, part of the USA Today Network.